Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, welcome back. We took a short break just for tonight because Dr. Judy Wood is with us, and we have just a ton of questions waiting to be answered here tonight in our chat box and that kind of thing. So, Dr. Judy, welcome back, by the way. I'm losing my train of thought. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. I apologize. I'm not always good at multitasking.
I'm not. I'm definitely not.
Let's see. This question is, in my chat box, I do want to remind people to please go to journeyswithrebecca.com. On the right-hand side of the website is listener chat. There's a lot of people in there, lots of great information. CB is asking, or CB is in there, and I guess CB has been assisting Dr. Wood a bit and is sharing a lot of really good information with people in the chat box so this is really good. So let's see, let me get back to some of the questions. Dr. Wood, did the New York City mayor make a comment about the trucking out of debris? Was it really potting soil or soil?
The morning after 9/11, on the 12th, he was on a radio show where he was bragging about 120 dump trucks going in and out of the city last night. He was, bragging about it. He said it was full of debris, but if you the night of 9/11, it's been less than 24 hours. Why would you be hauling out 120 dump truck loads of debris? Don't you look for the survivors first before you disturb what's piled up on top of them? I think it was a cover for hauling in dirt.
Okay, I do too. Also, there's somebody in here that's also saying, I think it's Bruce, saying that, first of all, they love Dr. Wood. Unfortunately, she has to repeat herself on all these shows. So we need to get past the basics. I'm not quite sure how to get past some of the basics here. For some of the people that aren't aware of Dr. Judy's work, we kind of wanted to lay some groundwork here for tonight, Bruce. And I think probably what we need is to have a little bit of the background, and then we're going to go into some of the ideas. I think Dr. Judy and I talked about it before we went on the air tonight. We've had a couple conversations throughout the day that we're going to get into what this energy is, what it can and cannot do, and of course, certainly with listening about the Bankers Trust building, obviously the technology certainly isn't perfected. There's certainly some fallout that we're hereby experiencing because they can't seem to correct some of the issues of using this technology like they did. And so I'm not really sure what else that I can say about that. If you've got some ideas, I'd be happy to hear them from anybody out there in the audience that has some specific questions that you might want Dr. Judy to go into tonight. Please, by all means, I support you in that, and I'm sure Dr. Judy does as well. So that being said, we probably need to get back to some other questions, and I've really got to catch up on all this because there's been a ton of them. I really can't even keep up with them. There's just a lot of people. I've got them in my email. I've got them in the chat box. The monitors in there are sending me questions as well. And
I'm sure they're glad that you're holding such a show on such a topic.
Well, and I'm extraordinarily glad. I'm one for that. Whatever is going on out there, we need to know what it is. We need to know what the truth is. And I've said this for many years, is that our government officials and the people with the powers that be don't give credit enough to the human race that we are intelligent beings. If they treated us like such, as intelligent beings, and treated us with the full scope of knowledge, we'd probably all be better off, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. And you know what they say about opinions. we won't go there.
It's interesting that someone earlier today, you know, brought to my mind that more and more weird stuff that happens, it'll start looking more normal.
Yes.
And we're going to have to become very observant to see it. As like with this situation, looking at what happened at the WTC complex, if you look carefully, it becomes very obvious, very clear. But if you do a quick glance, you might not see it, and it's going to become more and more subtle. So it's important for us to develop the ability to see what is before us and to choose.
Well,
like, for example, the Minnesota Bridge.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Please.
Did anyone think it was kind of weird that the cars stayed on the bridge and rode the bridge down? The bridge went down horizontally? That all the supports gave way at the exact same moment?
Yeah. And again, another I guess, an experiment by whomever, right?
There's things like that that should not look normal to us.
Well, and then I never heard anything more. I mean, it was in the news for, a few days, and then after that you didn't hear anything else about it. It's just like it goes away. You're like,
mm-hmm.
What? Why? Why are you doing that? Why? You know, I mean, it's like it's exposed, and then you hear nothing about it.
Maybe so the next one will seem normal.
Well, it's desensitizing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So here's a question that it's a good question, I think. Are you familiar with HARP?
I've heard the term, and I've heard people mention what they think it's about. And what I've tried to do is focus on the evidence I actually see.
Okay.
Because I don't know exactly what they do there. I know, you know, third-hand information or second-hand information about what somebody says goes on there.
Okay.
But it's so easy to want to jump to an answer or the answer with a label on it, a name. And the danger with that is it's like a multiple choice test where you forget to put all the choices
right.
as an option.
Right, right. Well,
how would you know that?
Yeah, and they were just asking if maybe there was some kind of correlation between that and the low-frequency method of breaking down metal. That was why they were asking whether or not you knew about HARP and if there was any correlation. So really, I thought it was a pretty good question. So if you're not familiar with HARP, and that's good. I mean, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Well, I'm familiar with it, but I'm just, you know, leaving out, you know, named things like why I call it fuzzy blobs and so
yeah.
forth. To just break it down to what exactly happened here instead of names for, you know, different pigeonholes to put it into.
Right. Well,
it's a hard thing to do. They say wipe the slate clean and just see what exactly is going on.
Well,
and then you see it very clearly and can define exactly what it's capable of. And once you see what it's capable of,
right.
My gosh, what else can we use it for that's good?
Well, yeah. So let's turn it around a little bit. What could it be used for in the positive? We already have seen the destruction it can cause.
Well, we can provide energy to the entire planet.
And how would you do that?
There's a lot of methods that are out there now, but I'm afraid they're going to be getting outlawed because, you know, he controls the energy, controls the people.
Right. I made that opening statement. I got that
yeah,
right from your website.
And that is the difficulty. But one thing every one of your listeners, I think, can grasp is and appreciate is seeing what all happened on 9/11 was something horrendous.
It was beyond horrendous, yes. I agree.
I mean, the technology that was used is just unbelievable. So why can't we use that for good things?
Well, I think it's like anything. It's a choice, right, Dr. Judy? I mean, we can choose to be kind and considerate to somebody, or we can choose to be rude and aggressive to them. It's a choice. It's a conscious choice.
And the more that everyone knows this kind of energy is available, the more likely it'll be that we will have it.
So speaking of this energy, speaking of this technology, where does this technology come from? What do you think, or where do you think this technology comes from? I mean, who's the inventor, or is there such a thing? Is it a joint venture?
I honestly don't know the original inventor. I think it's, you know, at least goes back as far as Tesla. And my, you know, I'm sure there's other events that go on before then. But, you know, Tesla for sure. And if you go to the bottom of my FAQ page, the frequently asked questions, there's some videos there. We don't need to go there now, but there's some videos there, kind of a little short course in Tesla and what Tesla was about. And one thing I find pretty strange is that, you know, Tesla is who brought us alternating current. And I never saw the name Tesla in my physics book in high school or college.
Isn't that interesting? He's always, by the way, been that person there. What little I've learned about him, he's an enigma to me. I would have really liked to have found out a lot more about Tesla than what's currently available.
And we have another Tesla, sort of his spiritual grandson,
yes.
In a way,
mm-hmm.
who has replicated many of the same things. And I think he's respected about as much as Tesla was.
Well,
some people greatly appreciate his work, and others try to hide it.
Or demonize it in that term, because they don't, because he really did have some really good ideas.
Yes, and you know, free energy.
Yeah.
Well, then you can't have control of people. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And somebody's asking just for your thoughts. You're free to answer these questions or not. You never put you on the spot here, okay? They want to know who they are that's controlling this technology. Is it the government, defense industrial complex, corporations, Russia, just whatever? You don't have to answer it if you're not comfortable.
Oh, I don't know, and I don't get too concerned with that.
Okay, good.
That takes care of it.
You know, there'll always be a they, isn't there?
Right.
So this other person is asking, could free energy, such as the one that we're talking about, this technology, could it lead to something even more stupendous, which some people think could lead to time travel?
Oh, yes. And definitely, for sure. There's some strange anomalies I also noticed in the images. That, you know, first, if you asked me that a year ago or two years ago, I would have said, man, is that wacky. But some of the stuff in here has really gotten, you know, opened my eyes, and seeing is believing. You know, before I started down this road, I didn't hear of the term directed energy weapons. I didn't, you know, I wasn't aware of any of this stuff.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Looking at the data told me that this exists. And the same thing with, you know, time travel and other things. When if you can go to, you go to T, it's just right above T, picture 163. That is a very interesting picture.
Oh, 163, okay, I think I'm too far down, just a second. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah.
Look at the wall on the right-hand side. We're looking east, you know, at the Winter Garden through to the other side. This is just before Building 7 goes poof. And we have on the left WFC3, and on the right is WFC2. Look at that wall of WFC2.
It looks very odd.
Like a fish tank.
Yeah, like how I was viewing it was like watery. It looked watery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like fuzzy, hazy, watery. Like you'd look at something that was watery. Interesting.
I've seen several pictures that look like this.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, something is getting warped there.
Yeah, like a distortion, like time-space warp thing.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, and then I was looking at some of the other pictures that you had, which was, let's see, I'll go back up to your indexing thing. It was the one silly string.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah, the silly string, because that's
G.
Pretty, yeah. G, silly string and donuts, you called it.
Yep.
And then, see, in the first one, in figure 36, it shows the Tesla coil.
Yep, big Tesla coil, and you can see these, you know, whatever you call it, arcs.
Right.
Those zap things, you know.
Right. Yeah, interesting. And then 37. Explain 37. That's very bizarre.
I believe that's a military exercise. I'm guessing those are drones that they're taking down.
Ah, okay.
But where they're projectiles, I've clicked these pictures, like, not knowing what anything was. You can see why I call this silly string.
Right, it does. Generically. Yeah.
And I found these other pictures. Well, that looks the same. You know, what's in common? Again, doing the blank slate thinking. And if you launch something through the air and it's sputtering out smoke, it's going to make a smooth, you know, thing to the air. If it's a projectile with kinetic energy.
Wow.
But if it's not just kinetic energy, some other type of energy, it'll leave this pattern.
Right. Just really bizarre. And I remember the one that you have there, number 42, figure 42. I remember looking at that thinking, gosh, that looks like something that comes out of fireworks.
You know, that little squiggly thing comes
down.
Yeah. One above and below.
Yeah, I can see, like, after, you know, after going in here and doing some research on your site, you know, all the thoughts that I'd had while I was watching the initial, you know, few days of all of this, all these thoughts that I'd had, I started remembering, thinking, oh, I remember looking at that and thinking, and I remember looking at that thinking, and, you know, I just thought there was so many things. And the other one, maybe you can help me to figure out which ones they are. So the ones where there's fire burning, but the paper isn't burning.
Ah, yeah, I'm going to go up to the top to see if I can find the fire one. Oh, it's paper. Maybe it's paper. Q? Yeah, let's go to Q.
Okay, Q, paper. Look at all the fires, and the cars, like, especially in figure 117, it's very predominant.
Oh,
the cars,
that was
are
great. We have to enjoy this, you know, laugh it up. The paper underneath the front of the car is not burning.
No, but the car is.
Yeah.
That's
well, it looks like it's burning.
It does. It looks like it's burning. I think that's probably the most important thing, because then you go to figure 119, and here's this fireman walking through the quote-unquote fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking right through it. I mean, there's clear spots around him, but he's walking right through the fire.
Isn't he worried about his pant legs catching on fire?
Apparently not. Has anyone got any analysis from the dust in the buildings yet? Do you know?
None that I know is through analysis.
Okay, because somebody's asking about that, and so I wanted to share that question with you real quick while we were doing that.
It would be interesting, but any, you know, dust that was collected, how do you know where it came from and some chain of custody?
Right.
Because the data from, in evidence from this site, is just so tainted.
Mm.
And so messy. Even there's an overhead image that went through, passed who knows how many different hands. It started out with a USGS, a NASA image, and then satellite image. And then from there, it got processed through some computer at USGS, and then went through some other office somewhere else. And it came out with a supposed thermal map of Ground Zero. And I've got a photograph, or several photographs, taken, you know, within a day or so of this image that's supposed to show the hottest place in Ground Zero is right here, and then right here is a puddle of water and a guy standing in a puddle of water.
Right.
So you kind of wonder what, you know, what images you're given. And I don't bank everything on just one photo. It's not like a set number of photos. Is that you see something from the left, from the right, above and below, and you know, you feel like you're there and can see it. And it becomes kind of clear. That's what was so helpful about just looking at particular phenomena. Like, again, this weird page, like the firewalker, but also what I call the pathetic mail truck. It's just lost all its support. What ate it up?
I know, just these are all those questions about the energy itself and what was being used, because it really, when you break it down, when you break it down like you've broke it down, the pieces to this puzzle just do not fit, folks, not at all. And that being said, Dr. Judy, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back with some more questions and get caught up on that. So for the rest of you, do not go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Judy right here on Journeys with Rebecca. Fate Magazine is proud to be celebrating its 60th anniversary and 700th issue. That's 60 years of bringing you true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate recognizes the impossible can be possible and explores the unknown so that it can be known. Fate is the longest continually running magazine on the paranormal, containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Fate is a bi-monthly Bible on the subjects like angels and miracles, psychics and spirituality, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, from authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations to readers' personal mystic experiences and so much more. Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. It's bigger and better than ever. Subscribe now by calling 1-800-728-2730 or online at fatemag.com. That number is 800-728-2730 or fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
American Association of Professional Psychics, America's number one psychic network for psychic readings by telephone since 1989. Their promise? To connect you with a guaranteed, authentic, certified psychic. A proven, accurate psychic who truly cares about you and your needs. So call now, 1-800-717-7887. Or visit their website, CertifiedPsychics.com, and receive 50% off a phone reading book from their website. Again, that web address is CertifiedPsychics.com.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Dr. Judy. And we are talking about 9/11. And Dr. Judy, I do have a really great question here for you. This one was from somebody in my chat box. Bruce said, energy to poof the towers, was it transferred from Hurricane Erin? We haven't talked about that aspect, which was something that was pretty important because that kind of got faded into the background when the WTCs went poof.
Or before the towers went poof.
Yeah.
Nobody really remembers it that day, and I have some weather images, like screenshots of the TV showing the morning weather that day.
Right.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. And you know, they show that part of the ocean, but they don't show this pinwheel that should be out there.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting myself. Where is that on your website so people...
It's near the bottom. Let's see. It's V for weather.
Okay.
And how I came to this is figure 175. It shows this satellite image of the plume. And I wanted to study the plume better. And, gee, that was kind of weird because you got black stuff that's going west over the Hudson, the white stuff that's going south and up. How come it's, you know, segregated like that? and goes in two different directions, or why isn't the wind blowing one direction? It seemed like something different was going on. And I wanted to get a better look at it, and so I went looking for weather satellite images, and figure 176 is what I found. Like, oh my gosh. It's a, you know, a hurricane right outside of New York, on New York City on 9/11. If you look real carefully, actually you can see the plume of stuff coming up from ground zero.
And I'm loading up the bigger image right now. Yep, there it is. Now,
what was interesting is it got larger as it approached New York City, kind of like how a figure skater, when they slow down, they put their arms out.
Right.
So they distribute their mass over a wider area, and they spin slower. And that appears to be what Hurricane Aaron did. So by doing that and stretching out larger, the rain bands actually came in on Long Island. They had rain on Long Island.
Okay.
And so the, you know, the, those outer bands were like the closest to New York City that morning. And it's not just the outer bands that are important. The field effects of a hurricane extend out well beyond where the where you see this cloud cover.
Right.
Like, you know, we know when a storm is coming, especially people who with arthritis.
Exactly.
They feel it.
Yes.
What are they feeling? Field effects.
Yeah, that's right.
And what was also interesting is, you know, the see, figure 179, the National Center, it shows...
Oh, we lost you again. Dr. Judy? You there?
You there?
There
yeah.
You are. Okay.
I must have bumped something. That the hurricane, you know, kind of stalled out there. You know, it was slowly moving, but, you know, basically coming to a stop in a reverse direction, heading back out of town. And for 24 hours, the wind speed stayed constant. And the air pressure inside the hurricane stayed constant for almost 24 hours. And it really didn't move much. And then it turns around and heads out of town like it showed up for work. You can see in figure 182 the path of it. For 4 days, it's aiming straight to New York City. And the morning of 9/11, it's making that U-turn and heading out of town.
What's your take on that?
It's mighty weird that we didn't hear about it beforehand, because it's, you know, several days in advance notice, and it's not on the morning weather report. You know, they hope nobody will notice.
Well, you know, isn't that interesting? Because I was thinking to myself before I, you know, when I was looking at this, and I was like, gosh, I don't remember them talking about a hurricane. Maybe I just forgot about it. You know, maybe I just forgot that this hurricane, because the event took place and I just forgot about it. But I don't remember hearing about it either.
I can speculate on why I think nobody heard about it.
I'd love to hear.
Well, if they had, would people be watching their TV sets the morning of 9/11, or would they be evacuating?
They'd be evacuating.
Because you have this hurricane that comes out there and kind of stalls out. How do they know for sure that thing is going to sit there for days or whatever? And if it does, you know the elevation of southern Manhattan?
No,
you
I
can have 20 feet or so.
Wow.
Maybe more. It's less than that for the airport that's even closer, for JFK Airport. You're going to have major flooding from storm surges.
Right, from the wind and from, yeah, exactly. We know what
just
that's
from
like.
Just the hurricane sitting there.
Right.
So, yeah, people better start evacuating and heading out of town. And why wouldn't they tell people that? Unless they knew absolutely for sure there was nothing to worry about, because they knew the exact timing of when that hurricane was going to put it in reverse and head out of town.
We real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, because I'm going to get back to this thought. Somebody said that they tuned in late, but they said the videos on your site have been removed. So we want to make that announcement, so that if you have a website.
Which videos?
I don't know. she's not explaining which ones it is, but she's saying the videos on your site have been removed. And I do know, by the way, too, is that there's a lot of really strange stuff going on with people's internet. Some sites work some days, sometimes they don't, et cetera, and so forth. So for that listener, whoever's listening, if you could send me an email to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com with the videos that have been removed, I will pass them on to Dr. Judy, and we'll go from there. And I thank you for that.
Yeah,
so,
I appreciate
that. Yeah, we need to hear that. We need to know what's going on. So kind of, you know, late breaking news there. So as we're looking at this hurricane, the other thing was the weirdness or the strangeness, if you will, of the look of the eye. The eye of that hurricane.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of that, except it doesn't look right.
It's like
it doesn't look normal.
No, it's got like it looks like a pile. Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's like strings or worms or something on the inside. I've never seen one that looked like that.
And it looks like a pentagon shape around it, a pentagon with worms in it.
Ah, interesting.
Does not look natural.
It is not natural, I wouldn't think. Oh, it says that page with the pictures of the burnt cars down at the bottom. She said those videos have been removed. Thank you. She's made a note of that, and I'll make sure that I get that to her at the end of the show, Dawn. Thank you very much. Okay. Next thing is we have another question. Said, let me get it back up here. I lost it. There's so many of them going on.
But what this tells me is they knew, you know, the powers that be would know whoever they are. It might be a different group of they. That this hurricane was nothing to worry about because they knew it was going to make this 110-degree turn and be gone. And so they, you know, just in the nick of time before there's a storm surge problem. But also, you know, it kind of shows, you know, weather control, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and I've had people on actually that's talked to me about, you know, weather, what they call weather warfare. And since being made aware of that, see, that's the other thing is, just like your statement that you made earlier, is that it's to look at things differently, not to become desensitized to it. I look at weather patterns now totally different than I did even a few years ago. So I start watching it, and because I am an intuitive, I can also sense whether or not something feels right to me or not,
mm-hmm.
whether it feels normal, a normal storm, or if it doesn't feel normal, if it's manufactured. And you can really tell the difference once you start tuning in to different weather patterns and whether or not they feel like they're real or manufactured. And we've seen a lot of storms this year, especially, that have been controlled. It's like having somebody that's got a touch screen on their computer, and they're going, oh, I think I want it to go over here. And they're
playing with their toys.
Yes, they're playing with toys. And it's unfortunately... it's unfortunately kind of the way of things, but I did want to tell people is to not let that become desensitized to you. Really start becoming aware, just like Dr. Judy is here explaining to us.
It also isn't something that we're just saying, believe me, you know, they have weather control, so just trust me, just, you know, hook, line, and sinker. No, I'm giving you tools which you can use to figure out what you want to think about it. And how I think about it is they were comfortable with this hurricane stalled out outside New York City for X number of hours as though they knew it wasn't going to be a problem because they knew when it was going to move out of town. But also, why didn't the network weather stations report this hurricane?
Exactly. I mean, that's just bizarre right there in and of itself.
Yeah.
The Weather
Media
Channel,
complicity?
That's their job. Yeah. Isn't that their job, is to report the weather channels?
And how much work is it for them to stick that icon, you know, pinwheel of a hurricane on their weather map in the morning?
Gee, I don't know. I didn't think it was too hard because they don't have any trouble with the rest of them that they put up, Dr. Judy.
right.
Seriously. We have another question that's weather-related here. Could a tornado be the effect of a time vortex in progress, like in general statement? And I'm not sure what what they're looking at as far as the picture. Yeah.
I've noticed that we have lightning bolts, we have tornadoes, we have hurricanes. They act at a different rate. Lightning bolts zing really fast. Tornadoes don't move quite as fast. You can almost get out of their way. Hurricanes, you can definitely get out of their way. And if you look at section W on this page, there's I call it a Tesla tornado, that first picture.
Mm-hmm.
You can see there's like a plate up above of clouds, and then you have the ground. You have a potential between the two, and it arcs across them.
Right.
And the hurricane is very similar. You see this anatomy of a hurricane. You have that middle part spinning around, and then the big pie plate on top spinning around. And that is the structure of a Tesla coil.
It is, too.
So a hurricane is like, you know, a huge Tesla coil. And that person asked about where the power to do whatever came from. It didn't come from the hurricane. The hurricane is part of it. The hurricane just creates this field in which this magic happens.
Interesting. I like that.
You know, one of the pieces of magic that we've all seen but just don't really recognize because we're told a different answer is levitation.
Right. You have some pictures on your website about that.
Yeah, the top of the Hutchinson section, I believe. That's section S. Figure 129 is a car that is placed on the fence. It's sitting on the fence.
Yeah, and the fence is perfectly well.
And it didn't tumble there. It's not scratched up.
Mm-mm. No.
It was gently set down.
Somebody wants you to explain the Hutchinson effect in a kind of a short way, if you can.
How I think of it is you get different types of energy fields and interfere them. And we've all, are familiar with magnets.
Right.
And how about, you know, electric current? Imagine, you know, before that little lightning bolt goes from the top of the cloud to the ground, there's a potential in there. How about if you intersect that with the magnetic field and then some other type of energy, radio frequency energy? Weird things happen.
Weird things happen. Very, very odd. Very odd. All right, so that being said, we've come to kind of figure out a lot of what's going on. You got some really great pictures, by the way, of the Hutchinson effect. Tons and tons of really great pictures and really good explanations there. When we look at this particular technology, Dr. Wood, how would you think that we could use this to create free energy? Which, by the way, if I remember right, I believe that Tesla, that was one of his things, is that he wanted to create an energetic system that was free.
Mm-hmm. Free to the world.
Free to the world. And how would we do that? Obviously, we've seen the negative effects, and then we've also seen some unseen effects from this particular technology. I'm sure they've changed it, you know, and using it and certainly tweaking it, if you will, for this mass destruction. But in the positive sense, as you look at this technology, how can it be transferred or transformed so that we could use this in a positive way without doing any damage? Would you have any ideas on that?
If the people know about free energy and stand behind it, you know how right now there's this technique by the powers that be, whoever they are, of divide and conquer.
Right.
And control. That wouldn't work.
Right.
It wouldn't work anymore, and there would be no reasons for having wars and fighting and killing people.
Yeah, that would be that'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be quite interesting? Wouldn't that be a utopia for us? I think that would be
very, and it's very close nearby.
It is.
Just everyone working together, and you know, like with our economy, I was giving someone this analogy. it's like they're on the Titanic. It's going down, and they're bailing as hard as they can. And they don't want to look up because they don't have time because they have to keep bailing, even though it's inevitable the thing is sinking. Meanwhile, there's this brand-new hovercraft that runs on free energy sitting right next to the Titanic. But they don't want to look up because they don't have time to. They want to keep bailing.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are.
It's kind of like...
If you just look up at this other... It's kind of like a whole new world.
It is. It is. It has such great potential. Now, that being said, you've got some other things that you want to share with the audience that we talked about before you came on tonight. We're going to take one more short break, and when we come back, we're going to open that line up for you, and we're going to go from there about some of the things that you have personally done in regards to this whole 9/11 thing, you yourself. And we'll be right back, though. So for the rest of you, just stay tuned, because we'll have more of Dr. Judy Wood in just a moment. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, most all of us understand hectic and changing schedules, and we also want to be able to get assistance when we need it. You know, I understand that with my own busy schedule and changing life. So I'm teaming up with my colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics to now better be able to serve my clients by providing them a quick and easy way to get a personal reading. I can also offer email readings and online chat as well as phone consultations. It's easy, convenient, and there when you need it. And their customer service department is supreme. So log on to CertifiedPsychics.com. I'm at extension 1474. Or call 800-717-7887. Again, extension 1474. Be sure to order online for a 25% discount for your first phone reading.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Dr. Judy Wood, and we only have you, Dr. Judy, for about another 10 minutes. So, one of the things that you told me about today, which I was just awestruck, honestly, I was, about the lawsuit. And if you feel like that you would like to talk about that, great. If not, we have some other questions that we can answer. You can answer, not we. You can answer if you would prefer to go from that route forward.
Oh, well, it's just that I wanted to mention I have an ongoing QTAM case that we're working on right now, and it involves the contractors for NIST. NIST came up with this report with the help of its contractors. It makes no sense. You know, the building did not undergo gravity collapse, and the various contractors who worked on this report, it's kind of interesting their backgrounds. Major manufacturers of directed energy weapons.
Wow.
I think there's a conflict of interest there.
You think there's just a little bit?
And so I brought this up to NIST, and they said, oh, no, there's no conflict of interest in determining how the towers collapsed, because we didn't analyze how the towers collapsed.
Right.
Can you believe that? This report that says, the final report on the collapse of the World Trade Center towers, they stated, did not analyze the collapse.
So what did they analyze?
I don't know. Well, the building was still intact before anything happened.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
That's a pretty good psyops, isn't it?
And, all right, you've mentioned that term a couple of times. for the people out there that don't understand what that is, could you please briefly explain what PSYOPS is?
Oh, I started using it in more general terms, but PSYOPS, a psychological operation, trickery. And in a way, a presidential campaign is kind of a PSYOPS. They promise you something, or a TV ad is. They promise you something. It turns out it's not true, or it has some strange meaning around it. But in the strictest sense, what happened on 9/11, we were given one set of information, and that is not at all what happened. And we were led to believe that's what happened.
And because of the shock, because of the total shock of what we were witnessing, none of us really, I mean, like I said, I had these moments while I was watching and listening, but certainly not to the degree that you did, and certainly I don't have the background that you did, but there was some things that didn't set well, but I didn't go further with it to question it any further than that.
And, you know, like a David Copperfield magic show, well, you know that you're being tricked.
Right.
That's what you paid your money for.
Right.
But we got a David Copperfield type of magic show without knowing it.
I didn't pay for it, did you?
Nope. Well, no. We're paying for it.
Well, yeah, but I didn't buy a ticket for the admission to that.
No, not knowingly.
Not knowingly. No, ma'am, did not. And that's really terrible. I mean, that's just terrible that you know, that this kind of stuff is going on. But, you know, I hope that there are people out there, Dr. Judy, like you're speaking about, that can use this energy that's being, you know, this technology that's been brought forward and use it in a positive as opposed to the negative. We do have one question here. Somebody's wanting to know about if some of the stuff that was being presented on, you know, on the television and that kind of thing, if there was some holographs or holographic technology as well being used?
They have that capability. I didn't watch who is doing what in the control room, but very likely. In 1999, the Washington Post had an article, "When Seeing is Believing." There's also another article folks could look up, "Lying with Pixels." In this first article, they talked about making an image of Allah and putting it over Baghdad to scare the people in Baghdad. This is in 1999.
Ah. Well, and then the one that I was telling everyone about a few weeks on my show, Dr. Judy, was that they took it public when they had Prince Charles attend some kind of seminar or conference or something, and it was a holographic image of him. And that was right out in the open. And they said, well, he wasn't really in attendance. He was there audio. You know, we linked him up into the audio, but we projected a holograph. He didn't even have to leave, you know, wherever he was at.
Yeah, this type of technology is available. I can't, you know, verify what was used on that day, but I do know that Boeing 767s did not, you know, make those holes in the tower.
No. No. No.
And you see, you know, crashes where you get an airplane, you know, sticking in a building, the airplane kind of gets torn up and never really hardly gets through the wall.
Well, it seems like to me, hitting a brick wall with an airplane kind of sort of thing is not going to be really conducive to the airplane.
There's one, you know, on takeoff or landing, its wheel had caught some power lines and just destroyed the airplane.
Right. Right. Exactly. No, you know, there's nothing left. There's just too many discrepancies, and, you know, that's all that disinformation that goes out there. So I think what people really need to do, and I tell people this all the time, is to really look at what you're watching and hearing on television, because, you know, it may not be believing in this case.
Right, and we each have to do that for ourselves and not look up to anyone to tell us how to think.
Right.
What to think. That's why I like to provide all of these images, because I want to empower each and every one of you to be able to see it for yourself. Because how did we get in this position? By buying everything hook, line, and sinker. We just got led right off the path.
By being complacent, by being sheeple, by allowing ourselves to be led around, by not owning our own selves and our truth. we've been spoon-fed. We were kind of all kind of codependent in that case, I guess. In that sense, I mean, you know, well, let somebody else take care of it, which is one of the reasons why you're doing what you're doing with the, you know, the case here, is you're saying I've got to do something about it. I'm just in awe that you would stand up and do something like this, Dr. Judy. I'm so appreciative of the information you've brought forward tonight.
Well, thank you so much.
And the one thing that I want you to do, though, is to let everyone know again your websites, any other information that you would like to share with the audience before we leave here tonight, because you have just been awesome. We've had a ton of people that ask, please, to have you back on. And I will get with you, and we will have you back on again, and we'll talk some more about this and some other things if you're interested in coming back again.
Oh, great.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So if you will, just share with everyone your website and any other way you would like for them to get a hold of you or email you if you would like or whatever.
It's drjudywood.com, and there's also this. You can see the legal documents that have been posted, and on those pages is an entry form where you can send email to me, if that's easy, and as well as the whistleblower page for anyone who would like to come forward. You can send it with or without your identification or contact information, and just to speak up, because we need to.
Everyone does.
If we live in fear, we always live in fear.
That's right. And I don't think this is what this is about anymore, because you certainly went forward with what you're doing in your life, Dr. Judy, and for that I commend you for honoring, you know, that part of yourself. We should all take and lead, go by your example and lead ourselves into our own fearless self, right? I love it. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's so, and I have people in the chat box saying, thank you, Dr. Judy. Thank you, Dr. Judy. There's a ton of people thanking you for coming
well,
on the show.
Well, thank you, each one of you, because this is why I do it. Everyone needs to be empowered.
I agree. I so agree. Well, Dr. Judy, thank you so much again for being on. We will have you back on. I will be in contact. We'll be posting that to my website for all of you to go back and check, and I'm sure Dr. Judy will put it on hers as well. And for the rest of you, though, stay tuned. I've got a little bit more. Dr. Judy, we're going to let you go now, and you have yourself a great night. We'll be talking very soon. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back.
Fate Magazine is proud to celebrate its 60th anniversary and our 700th issue. That's 60 years of bringing you true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. It's bigger and better than ever. Subscribe now by calling 1-800-728-2730. Or online at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. I would like to share with you some information about my friends and colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. Here are their founding principles to uplift the public image of professional psychics. Distinction through ethics, professionalism, and credibility. To provide positive press and publicity for certified psychics. To provide assurance that certified psychics are authentic, ethical, and professional. So please check them out. CertifiedPsychic.com or call 1-800-717-7887. Again, that's 800-717-7887. You'll be glad you did.
email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. What an awesome, awesome show. My thanks again to Dr. Judy Wood. Her website again is drjudywood.com. You can find that link on the front of my website, and that's journeyswithrebecca.com. Thanks to all the sponsors, Fate Magazine, that's fatemag.com, also to certifiedpsychics.com and perfectlyorganic.net. Stuart Swerdlow for dream interpretations is dream@journeyswithrebecca.com. And for questions for Nancy Ogren and I, it's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Next week's guest, the Roswell Legacy, the untold story of the first military officer at the 1947 crash site, Jesse Marcel Jr. and Linda Marcel authors. Nancy will also be joining us next week. Following that is Stuart Swerdlow on the state of the world. We're also going to have Dr. Bill Deagle on, a witness for Project Camelot, and then Cliff High from Half Past Human, and so many more. We're also going to have Dr. Judy back on, so be sure to check out the website. Coming up at 11 p.m. on Talk Radio X is Tyler Hollywood with Bad Side Live. So we will see you back here next week from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. You are the best audience ever. I thank you for your support and tuning into the show. So, until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.